If you want to learn something new, would you rather learn it on your own, from a random teacher, or from folks who are the best of the best in that skill? I think I know which option most of you would choose. That's made possible by MasterClass. In recent months, they've added classes from the likes of Ava DuVernay, who gives us tips on how to reframe our thinking in all walks of life. One of our personal favorites recently was the one-on-one time we got with Amy Poehler in her class on preparing to be unprepared. So good. With Ava DuVernay. With over 180 world-class instructors and a 30-day money-back guarantee for new members, there's no reason not to get started today. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/hardthings. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/hardthings. Masterclass.com/hardthings.
Hungry Root's standard is simple but important. Step one, it's got to taste good. Step two, it's got to be quick to make. And step three, it's got to contain whole, trusted ingredients. And those three sound simple in theory, but when there's the option for takeout and there are stressful work days where meal prep isn't a priority, and when you've got picky eaters in the family, God help us, it's easier said than done. But Hungry Root makes it possible. We just built our first personalized cart after taking the fun little intro quiz, and soon my fridge will be filled with dairy-free snacks and drinks for John and the kids, prepared heat-and-eat meals for the whole family, and other high-quality groceries they're shipping over. I can't wait. Right now, Hungry Root is offering We Can Do Hard Things listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Did they say free veggies for life? Just go to hungryroot.com/hardthings to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/hardthings. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Hello, love bugs.
Welcome.
And welcome to We Can Do Hard Things.
You got your sexy voice on right now, honey.
Thank you. Thank you. Now that I know how to talk dirty from our episodes, which I am still recovering from.
Please see prior episode with Vanessa.
Sister, what you don't know is when that episode went live, I was a horrible person in my home that morning. I was so vulnerability hungovered. Do you remember that, babe?
Oh, yeah.
I was, You do this podcast, right? And it's a cone of safety and love, and you feel as if you're in this room with the pod squad. And so you can talk about anything and do anything. And then Abby and I go out into the world. So what I want everyone with the pod squad to imagine is going to like your kid's school event that night, feeling normal because you've forgotten what your job is.
And the PTA president is like, it feels good when you go slow.
Exactly. Or they're giggling at you, just giggling. Or people will say, you're so brave. Nothing scares me more than when someone says you're so brave, because that just means you've done something that you shouldn't do.
Yeah, foolish. You've done something foolish.
That other people who are wise would never do. Or it's like, okay, for example, talking about my mental health or the anorexia stuff. So it's one thing you're talking about sex and everyone's giggling and like, oh my God. But then also when we air something that's like deep and personal, people will come up to me with this look of just sadness. And I've forgotten what's going on. I'm just like out in the world. People are like handing me a flower. Are you okay? Anyway.
And you're like, what episode are you on? So I know how to answer that.
Exactly. So I'm doing well this morning, y'all. I just, as Abby knows, because that's where I was for the last 15 minutes, I just finished my day 18 of a 21-day meditation challenge.
What happens on day 22?
Well, I don't know. I probably won't get there for like 6 more months because I started, you guys, I just checked. When I started this meditation, this 21-day meditation challenge was on December 4th, 2022. So it's been 6 months. I'm on day 18.
Yeah. It doesn't need to be consecutive. You don't want to overdo it. You don't want to rush things.
I mean, I think it is supposed to be consecutive.
It doesn't say that.
I know, but I think that it's implied.
It doesn't say it. 17 days and 6 months is better than no days.
It's true. Mm-hmm, right? It's true. It's really good.
How are you two doing? Sister, how was your vacation? You were just on vacation.
We just had a trip for spring break.
Oh, wait, yeah. Trip. And not a vacation.
It's
sorry.
Not a vacation.
A trip.
Unless you're alone.
And luckily, we had our flight canceled, so we spent two solid days trying to figure out another flight. We were actually considering getting in the car and driving to meet our connection flight and on hold with the airlines for like 7 hours. Ugh. Also, there's a problem there. We should just footnote. Can someone please fix that industry? Because oh there's... How are they? Mm-hmm. Hire more people. Mm-hmm. They're like, we can't get to you for 6 hours. It's like, yes, you could if you had the appropriate number of people answering the phone.
My
it's
favorite.
It's not impossible. My it's favorite. Not an act of God.
My favorite is, when this has happened to me twice, go up to the ticket place, say, I'm here for my flight. And they say, we don't have a seat for you. And I say, oh, no, mm-hmm. I bought a seat. And they're like, mm-hmm. yeah, we see that. We just couldn't keep it.
Right. Like, the important part of the reservation is the keeping of the reservation.
Yeah. No accountability. Zero accountability. It's like no. The weather reporters. Like weather mm-hmm. reporters, they can just say whatever the hell they want. No
yeah.
accountability.
And unfortunately, the weather people and the airline people are in cahoots to ruin our lives. And I say to John, I say, with this kind of logistical nightmare and frustration, I could get that for free at work.
Exactly.
Why am I going to pay money to get this thing that I get on the regular just as part of my daily life? But luckily we get there. Mm-hmm. And then the next day we have pictures on the beach.
Oh,
you know,
no.
Quote unquote free pictures on the beach, which means they don't charge you for that. But then they charge you like a mortgage payment for procuring the pictures exactly. after they take them. And Alice proceeds to vomit on the beach.
Oh no.
While the woman is taking our pictures.
Oh, please tell me you got those photos.
Yes. Because those would be
the
worth
lady stopped
the money.
Taking them, which
that's
was
like
unfortunate.
The best 30-year-old like looking back at the trip you took.
Oh no. Was yeah, she sick or just upset?
And she was sick. And okay. then she slept for like 12 hours. So I'm like, well, that's really expensive nap we're taking for this week. Oh, but shit. I just got me thinking about pictures and I think we should talk about pictures and picture day because it's like we're trying to document the best moments of our life, but they're the worst mm-hmm. moments of our life.
Yes.
Like it is a terrible, I've never been more angry and frustrated with my family than when we are taking the beautiful, loving family photos.
I've seen it in action.
I've seen it in action.
Amanda in action.
And by the way, poor sister, because there's only been like three times that we've ever taken a picture of our family, right? Like
yes.
It never happened.
That's why it's so fraught.
Yes.
I'm like, this is my one for this half decade.
Yes.
Make it good, assholes.
So the three times around Christmas that we have tried to get a picture, the second someone says, let's get a family picture, sister's husband looks terrified.
It's PTSD.
Yeah.
Terrified.
I have PTSD watching it.
Terrified because, well, sister, why don't you explain in your own words what happens in your body when you are trying to get a family picture?
Well, it's really just feels like this is, you know, I'm not throwing away my shot. You know,
yeah.
This is my one chance and everybody sit and look like we love each other and be mm-hmm. the appropriate distance from each other. And just for while I'm asking is for 1 second to look in the same place. Just 1 second. Don't look miserable and look in the same place. I don't think that's a hard thing to ask every 5 years.
No, I don't.
I really don't.
But I think it's deeper. I think it's like a symbol or a microcosm of what you feel all year. Which is why doesn't anyone fucking care about this as much as I do? Why won't anyone put in the goddamn effort to be a family that it takes from everyone?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, yeah. Pull a little weight, you small people and you large person. Yeah.
One thing that actually has happened to me recently, because I've been looking through a lot of old family photos and photo albums, I have always been the person in this experience that's like, this is not that fucking big of a deal. Can't we just like be here with each other and not need to document it? That's been my mentality. But after looking back at these photos, and now I'm getting a little bit older, I'm like, oh, these moments to capture and to remember, because you forget, like we don't remember everything. And when you see the photo, it's a chance to remember. And what we are is, I feel, is just a whole bunch of memories, like our whole lives, you know?
And most importantly, we're not remembering the memories. We're remembering what we see in the picture as if it represents the memory.
Yeah.
And that's important.
Yeah.
So for example, if we get a picture from the beach trip, I'm going to say, hey, baby, remember this was the best day of your life.
That's right.
She's going to be like, yes, it was.
And it's so true because I have, and sister, we've talked about this so much. I'm going to say it's a little bit different now because the kids are older, but when, for most of our family life, when I'm on a trip with the family, I am not enjoying myself. I'm in the moment, I am not having fun. Trips with families are not fun. And if it's fun for you, congratulations. Like, but in the moment, it's not. It's like you've paid this money. You want everything to be perfect. Your people suck. It's so much effort. It's all, but something magical happens afterwards. And you're like, that was so fun. That was, it's the after, it's retroactive joy. It's not joyful in the moment. And the picture represents that retroactive joy. We just replace all of our miserable memories with that one shot, which is why
we don't have proof of your misery. All we have is proof of this really smiley picture. So it's your memory versus this picture, and we're going with the picture.
I love online shopping. It's how I process my feelings. When you combine the convenience of online shopping with prices that allow you to save 50%, sometimes 80%, it's a slam dunk. And that's why I shop on Quince. No more going to a store and being faced with prices that make your jaw drop. Quince has an amazing selection of lush sweaters, silk tops, timeless jewelry, and everything is priced less than similar brands. Plus, it feels good knowing that whatever I order, I've actually ordered the white gold pave diamond hoop earrings that I'm wearing all the time, was made using safe, ethical practices thanks to Quince's partner process. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/hardthings for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/hardthings to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/hardthings.
I had a recent actual picture epiphany because this is outside of the family picture phenomenon, which is just too fraught. We'd need an expert on to really delve deep into that one. But we do twice a year pictures at school, the kiddos. And it's always like picture day coming up. You have to sign up for the thing. You know, they're like, if you want three pictures, that'll be $750,000.
How much you love your kid. How much you love your kid.
Yeah.
Because if you love your kid, you will order the $786 package.
Are you going to get the one with emblazoned and foil gold or
that
not?
Comes with four dog leashes with your kid's face on it and 16 Christmas ornaments and a dreidel.
But recently, so I, again, we don't have many pictures of our family. So actually, my kids keep asking every time the holidays come around, we get all the pictures in the mail of like people's cards. And my kids are like, huh, when are we going to do one of these? It's like, I'm like, oh, eventually. Bobby's like, I'm 10. Like, well, let's wait till you're 11. We don't want to push it.
That's like Emma. She's always like, where are the pictures of me? And I just show her pictures of Tish when Tish was a baby and say that
they looked very similar.
They do. No one can prove it.
No, exactly. So it's picture day. We pick out the clothes for Bobby and Alice, pick out Alice's clothes. I like braid her hair, put her in the dress. And she gets home from picture day and she sits me down like she's going to tell me something important. And she goes, Mom, actually, I am really not a dressy person. Mm. I'm more of a casual person.
Is that what she said?
Yes.
God, that
she said, I'm more of a casual person. And she said, is it okay if I don't wear a dress for picture day anymore? Will that make you sad? And I had this crazy experience because it was like on many levels, of course. And I was like, of course you can wear whatever you like to wear on picture day. And I said to her, what I want is a picture that looks like you.
Yes.
Like, not to make you look like a picture I want. Which is what I had been doing. It's such a wild thing. Like a picture is supposed to document a person. But I wasn't documenting her as she shows up at Tuesday to school. I was thinking of the picture I wanted to have and then conforming the way she looked to look like that picture. It seems silly, but this message that I send when I get her all dolled up to look like something that doesn't look like she naturally looks like is telling her that the way she is, as she is not worthy of documenting.
Wow.
Like, it's not something that I would love to see. It's not something I would feel proud to send to her grandparents or see in the yearbook. Mm. In this very subtle way, it's like she needs to be improved or altered to be acceptable and celebrated in this photograph.
Yikes.
I mean, the elementary school photos that we get home on the thing where you give them $850,000 for your wallet size, because everyone's around there carrying wallets full of wallet size photographs.
You know how you pull out your billfold or whatever and you just show your friends?
Me, myself, I use a money clip, but I make sure I have all the wallet size photos in there.
Next to your pocket watch.
Yes. The elementary school photos give you the option for retouching.
I know.
I kid you not. The kids' photos. The six-year-olds. And I just think that there's this really, like, I sat and thought about it for way too long, but there's a real thread between me sending her that message, sending my eight-year-old the message that she needs to wear this dress that she would never, ever choose to wear and get her hair braided in a way that is uncomfortable for her. And the millions of women who step out of photographs because they're not ready yet.
Mm-hmm.
They're not ready for a photo.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's crazy not being ready. But I get her very ready for her photos. And then you got this retouching thing. And then 90% of women use a filter or edit their photos before posting them. And I'm like, that's crazy. It's so interesting.
It's just
the little subtle things that we think are these benign things that are planting the seeds.
It's a little story of my life. This is literally how I grew up, where my mom would put me in dresses. I mean, I was a bridesmaid in my brother's wedding, and I had to wear one of those, you know, dark cranberry colored.
Mm-hmm.
What is it called? Yeah. Dresses?
Strapless
dresses.
Baby. Oh my God. Baby. How old were you when you wore a strapless dress?
I mean, I must have been 25. I don't know.
Oh God. You were like,
I was old. And, you know, I just had to, in my mind, I knew I was like, okay, I'm just going to do this because this is what the bride wants. And then as I got older, I had the option. I was in another person's wedding and they're like, wear a suit, just wear the same color that the bridesmaids are wearing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that is so nice. But what I want to say to you about Alice coming home and feeling like she can tell you this, that is not something that was an option for me. I just had to grin and bear it because
literally
grin and bear it. What the hell is this?
You guys, this is big. I feel like this is big. I don't know how to, it's just like this. Because we're doing the same thing with the vacations. Like when you said, Sissy, the point of a picture is to document what a person looks like. That is not our intention.
Oh, no, it's definitely not my intention.
No, but it could be, right?
Right.
When you went to take your family vacation picture, and so you stopped your family vacation, made everyone miserable, made them dress up in the shit, made your daughter throw up, stood in front of the waves. That was not a picture of your family vacation.
at all.
Exactly.
That right? was a deviation from that the vacation.
You deviated yeah. your family vacation to take a picture. Oh, well, it's the theme of this podcast. The thing that screws us up the most is the picture in our head of how it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. The picture in our head that we think we should have.
Right. Exactly. You look at your kid, your precious little kid who's wearing her scrappy little shit and her hair's all messed up and she's out in the backyard doing your thing. If you were going to take a picture of what your kid is, mm-hmm. you would take a picture of her right there in the backyard. Mm-hmm. Or you would send her along to school looking like the ragamuffin she is mm-hmm. so that in 10 years you could look back and be like, I remember that. That's my baby. As opposed mm-hmm. to this set of 12 pictures where your kid looks nothing like.
It's like an Alice impersonator.
I was reading this book recently and this woman said when she forgets what her life was like, she goes back and scrolls through her social media to oh. find out what her life was like. And I was like, oh my God, no, that's not, that's something else, mm-hmm. right? That's not even our life. That's our pictures of what we think other people will like to see about what our life was, but it's 12 step remove from what is, from what our people mm-hmm. actually are and from what our daily moments are.
Yeah. Maybe we should just start committing to like, what is it called when you're just taking a photo of what's happening?
People do that in other cultures.
Candid.
Well, we pose the shit out of our candid pictures.
Why are we doing this?
It's not always been like this, and it's not always like this. Like, it is a distinctly American thing to create the perfect situation, have everyone stop and look at a camera and smile big. There's a lot of people who think we all look ridiculous in all of our pictures because why are you guys always smiling fakely?
That's so true.
In a lot of places when someone takes a picture, people just kind of turn and look how they look.
Yeah. That's so true. I mean, I've traveled the world and that is very true of so many different countries I've traveled to. People, they just stand there.
Yeah.
And also old photos.
They're not smiling.
No. And it looks so sad. I'm conditioned to believe these people are really upset.
Why did they only take pictures of sad people?
They look pissed.
Because mostly we're all sad.
Well, I mean, there's a few reasons for that. It was the exposure time period. The first photo was 8 hours. So you can't have any movement. Like you have to be totally, totally still.
Oh my okay. God.
In that's photo. How family smiling? Photos feel. Imagine. 8 hours.
That photo, yeah, exactly. It takes me 8 hours to get a picture of everyone looking at the same picture. It's the dot, people. Look at the dot. Also, they didn't have good dental hygiene, so you couldn't show your teeth. Also, it was seen as you only smiled freely and widely if you were like wild or drunk. Mm. So it wasn't socially acceptable. Same with the Asian countries. Typically, large shows of emotions are not
okay,
but, as culturally accepted.
But we could be saying the same thing. Why are wild, ridiculous smiles not natural? Because only drunk people and Americans... look like that. It's fake. Look America. At how happy we are. I think it's baked in to us. Like it's our pursuit of happiness. Look at us. Look at us. Look at our pursuit of happiness. I've been reading all these articles about, you know, they put out this study. Or it's Finland again. Once again, is the happiest country in the world. And so all the Americans are turning that into 700,000 articles about what we can learn from Finland about being happier. But the more I read these articles, when they interview the Finnish people, they're like, I mean, I guess we're fine. We're Finnish. Like we're not
Finnish and we're Finnish.
None of these people are like, well, here's I'm following my bliss and I'm blah, 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 blah. They're like, I think what you Americans are calling happy is like, we're just okay with
they're
not being that happy.
Yeah. We're okay we're not, with not pursuing
we're not
happiness.
We don't pursue it
they're
all the
pursuing
time.
Contentedness.
Yeah, they're just yeah. like, this is life and this is being human yeah. and it's all these different feelings and we are fine-ish with that.
I am an outdoors person. I'm a big fan of places that are rich in culture, history, and art. And most importantly, I'm a former resident of the great state of Oregon, which is why I want to tell you about Travel Oregon. When you find a guide through Travel Oregon, you'll be able to leave the planning to the local guides and experts, and this is a game changer. Instead of trying to find a good hiking trail and hope for the best, you can get a tour guide to bring you to the must-see spots. Ensure you're provided with all the necessary safety gear and show you all the amazing little nuggets you might miss on your own. And because the guides and tour companies are small businesses, they're led by incredibly passionate people. You can find experts who speak multiple languages and know about a variety of cuisines. Or if you want a biking tour, you can find local guides to help you to customize your tour. There's so much to explore. Learn more at traveloregon.com.
Well, actually, interestingly, not to go too far on a cultural tangent.
No, you know you hate that. Sister never does that.
I know. There's nothing I hate more than that. But interestingly, Americans do smile so much more. And there is research that suggests that since the U.S. is so heterogeneous, so we have like so many source countries as a country of immigration, as opposed to the super homogeneous countries, you know, China, Zimbabwe, where there's just a few nationalities, mm-hmm. they see a direct correlation between the expression of smile with the immigrant heavy countries, because coming here, we had to have emotional expressiveness to find people that were safe, to make Whoa. Connections. Whereas if you are a country where it's more homogeneous, you're coming from your people and of your people, you know who your people are. Mm. And so there's like this really interesting thread through that where you have to build mutual cooperation. And the way you signal that to each other is through this emotional expression, which I think is fascinating.
That's cool.
So does that show that when we feel safe, when we already have our people, when we have emotional safety, we are forced to smile less because we have peace.
It's like already. A performance.
We're not desperate for yeah. tribal protection. So it is a performance. It's a calling in of help. It's a please accept me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's performance. It's thou doth protest too much.
Yeah.
You need all your pictures to be like, I'm the happiest family. Look at me. We're so happy. While I'm gritting through my teeth. Look at the camera. In fact, there's these things like when McDonald's went to Russia and they did all their trainings when they were setting up McDonald's there. And they were like, look at the people. Smile. They had to totally revamp it because people were like, what the fuck is going on at McDonald's?
They're like, everyone at McDonald's is wasted and I don't feel safe ordering.
Exactly. Same with Target. You know, like the greeters at Target, when they set those up in Germany, the Germans were like, oh, hell no, yeah. Target. Yeah. Like, as we come in and they're like, welcome, smile. And they're like, y'all have to change that or no one's coming back to Target.
The Target. Oh my God, it's so fascinating. I've been thinking a lot about pictures lately because I'm trying not to be disembodied anymore. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm using a camera at all, I'm trying to take pictures of something that brings me joy. Like, the other day, Emma had a bunch of kids over, and I think I sent this picture to you.
So yeah.
There was just like a pile of shoes, of teenage girls' shoes, just mm-hmm. all over the foyer. And I was like, that's like my church, mm-hmm. that pile of shoes, because that signals to me that this house is full of kids and that they feel safe here, but none of the kids are in my view. They're all in the basement.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a representation of children, but not actual children.
This is the picture in my head of how things should be. But what are you thinking about with little ones still?
I don't do social media. So mm-hmm. I don't have that conflict that I feel like a lot of people have where they have to like, oh, this is my vacation and I have to, you know, put up these photos to prove what we're doing. So I think it's really nice that I don't have that option because I think it would be in the back of my mind a lot. In fact, I just heard for the first time, this is probably like a very old expression. Someone said, oh, my last vacation, it rained the entire time. They were on some island and I had to force book these photos because I was miserable.
What does that mean?
You're posting things to Facebook, but you're force booking them, meaning like you're actually miserable, but you're posting a photo that is representing your experience as positive.
Whoa. And what is the intention of that? Because actually a ruined nightmare family situation is such good content. That's funny. Yeah. Like having a miserable time is like funny and connective. So what is that?
I think it's also like the everybody else is posting their pictures. Maybe you're like, we also did a thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Or maybe it's yourself justifying because you're like, we invested in this vacation. It took us all of this time and I will have a receipt to show something for my efforts. I'm not sure what it is. For me, I haven't gotten a lot of photos that I wish I had of certain events. So I really want them. And there's not enough photos of me with my kids. Mm-hmm. And so I really want those. I think my hardest thing is letting those photos look like what they look like, because my biggest hurdle is that I don't like the way I look in photos.
Oh, is that true? You don't like the way you look in photos?
Mm-hmm.
I am stunned.
Why?
Well, this is a debate I've been having with myself for a while, because I always thought for a lot of years that I don't look like myself in photos. And then
like
I realized, oh, fuck. Maybe that's what I look like.
Sister, remember when I used to say my eyes are two different sizes in pictures?
Yes.
And it took me till I was 40 to understand my eyes are just two different sizes.
Yes. People joke with me. Like it's like a running joke that I am Puffy Pirate.
What is that?
In every photos, I'm Puffy Pirate because when I smile, I squinch my face up. And so my face is like a puff ball and then one of my eyes completely closes and one stays open.
Puffy Pirate.
Oh, you do the pirate.
I do, but do you know in college, my mean friend, what is that, Mark Lutter, used to call me Smush Face. For the same reason, Smush Face. Also, I had chipmunk cheeks from bulimia, but yeah, Puffy Pirate, Smush Face.
And I'm like, God, it's so weird how my photos don't look anything like me.
Have you ever, I'm going to just throw this out there, because I also sometimes, I cheese smile sometimes when I'm actually like so happy. And those photos, I'm like, oh, you're, whoa, this is not right. So now I have like a picture face that I feel confident in that will show the way that I want to be looking like in the photo.
I haven't put that much effort into it. But I'm also just like, why can't I just let the pictures look how they look? Why can't I just be an Alice and be like, she's like, I'm really more of a casual person. Why can't I just be like, I'm really more of a Puffy Pirate?
No.
Let it be.
But here's the other thing. I actually don't think you are a Puffy Pirate. Like, I think Puffy Pirate is a perfect example of forcing the pursuit of happiness into your pictures. Because when I think of like the pictures that should exist for you as who you are and how you parent, when I think of, oh, the picture sister should have with her kids, I have flashes. I just had a flash of you like knocking Alice over when she was the goalie when we were playing beach soccer. Pod squad, please understand, we're playing a nice game of family soccer on the beach at Christmas. And Alice was in the goal because she's the youngest member of our family. So the rest of the family was, you know, kind of kicking the ball around her, gently approaching her, cheering her on. Sister was crushing her daughter, slide tackling her. Sister looked at her daughter.
That's how we do it in Virginia. Yeah.
I've never seen somebody so competitive.
No.
And I'm a former pro athlete.
Sister looked at
takes
this
it to a different level.
Child, the small child in the goal, and said, oh shit, I can take her down.
I mean, I'd get close to sister. I'd be like, nope, I'm not going into this tackle.
Yeah. But like,
she's coming in for blood.
Pictures of that. Pictures of you on the floor being ridiculous with them. I could just have flash after flash of what they should be. And you are not Puffy Pirate in any of them. Puffy Pirate is what comes when mothering stops and you end the vacation and you stand in front of a camera. And you know what Puffy Pirate is? Puffy Pirate is misery. Okay? It's misery. It's
I will get this picture.
We got to think of a name for this because I think that this is like an important moment that most people will recognize and mm-hmm. see in their own life. What is it that we're doing that we're stopping? This is like a snapshot of evil.
Because none of us think that our lives the way they are and ourselves the way they are and our children the way they are and our days the way they are is good enough. We all think we're supposed to be someone else. Our kids are supposed to be someone else. We're pursuing. We never think right now in this moment the way things are is good enough.
It's so funny.
The opportunities for giving amazing life-changing gifts have just begun.
And yes, diapers are a life-changing gift. Imagine you're a first-time parent struggling with time management and financial burdens. Don't really have to imagine. I remember it directly. And all the challenges of your first child. And then you get a huge shipment of diapers funded by all your family and friends. That's a good feeling.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's exactly what Pampers is doing with their diaper stash. I love this so much. It's an online diaper fund. So you can contribute to a diaper stockpile and help ensure it never runs out.
And one of the most difficult things about buying diapers for others is making sure that you guess the right fits and sizes. And with Pampers Diaper Fund, all that guesswork goes away.
So if there's a new parent or expecting parent in your life, you will be making their lives a lot easier and showing them how many people are excited for their huge milestone.
Organizing a diaper stash is easy. Go to diaperstash.pampers.com to set up a fund and give the ultimate group gift. Love it.
Love it.
Love it. Love it. I think there's a more practical element to it too. And people should go back and listen to Why Are There No Pictures of Us? I think that part of it, if people were going around taking candid shots of me all the time, doing my thing,
yes,
I would not feel the pressure to make sure that I am documented with my family mm-hmm. at these different stages. And so I wouldn't feel the enormous pressure when it's like literally the one time ever. We've gotten professional pictures taken a time prior right. to the beach. And that's what when you got it for me because you were like, I'm going to make this happen for you. So I think it puts extra pressure on that because I want to be in a photo with my family. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I had legions of photographs of being mm-hmm. candid with my kids, mm-hmm. I would feel less of a sense of urgency around those moments where I know it's going to be the photograph I'm going to have for this year.
Yeah. That's important. Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's so true. That's something for all partners and friends and people listening to remember when you see your person or one of your people being themselves in a moment. Snap that picture.
Yeah, because guess what will happen? When the moment when the family quote unquote picture comes up, they're going to be less assholes because they know that they've got some other options to choose from.
Yes. Scarcity creates emergency level emotional response. And so I think that is true.
But listen, there's a difference. A picture is about being seen.
Yes.
Being seen. And like this idea that we have to change ourselves, change our children, dress up, look different than we are, alter ourselves. That means we are never really being seen. So in an extreme way, if someone takes a picture of me and I have spent, you know, 3 hours in a makeup chair and someone has changed my hair and then probably done some editing afterwards, and then someone says, look at this picture of you. This is how I see you. You're beautiful. There's no part of me that feels like I don't feel that compliment. That's not mm-hmm. real. If I'm laying on a couch and reading with the dogs laid on me and I don't even know it, and then Abby shows me a picture later, a picture she shot of me laying on the couch reading with the dogs. And she's like, look at you. That makes me feel so seen. So like with Alice, she comes home in those braids and you put that picture out on the
Exactly.
And on the kitchen table and say, that's my daughter. She doesn't feel like you're really seeing her. If you exactly. snap a picture of her outside with Seamus in the backyard because you've noticed how beautiful and free and wild she looks when she's doing what she loves, and you put that picture on the kitchen table mm-hmm. and you say, that's my daughter, then she knows that what you find most beautiful and stunning about her is her the way she is.
It's like pictures are existential. This is a real person. When you take a photo of yourself, it's like, I exist. There's something really deep about it. And I think it's so special that Alice is able to actually communicate that with you. I want my pictures to exist as I really am.
Yes.
And if we could all have yes. that kind of, I don't know, confidence mm-hmm. to be able to.
Basically, she was saying, like, can the picture of me really be of me?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I just realized that, oh my God, what are we doing? We're starting this performance so early. Mm. And that is telling her, as you are, I don't want to put on my wall. Why would I want a picture of you just as you go to school on Tuesday on my wall? That's preposterous. Mm-hmm. It really, for me, helped me think through, like, oh God, that's really close to how I am now, where I will go through, if John takes a picture of me and the kids, and I will look at all of them, and maybe the kids look amazing and I don't like the way I look in any of them, I won't print it. Mm. And it's like, but that's the way I look.
Yeah.
That's a picture of me. Sorry.
There's only so many decades you can say, oh, that angle.
God. That's so weird how Cameron does that to me. So there's something liberating about just being like, can we all just be like, yep. Mm-hmm. That's a picture of Alice. Yep. Yes. That's a picture of me.
And maybe if we start doing it with our kids, we'll allow ourselves to start doing it with ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's not buy into it unintentionally. Just buy into the idea that there's this one way. It would be cool if we all started taking pictures and let it be. Let yeah. everything yeah. be. Let the vacay be. Let the day be. Let the moment be. Let the daughter be. Let the partner be. And just snap it the way it is.
Yeah.
That's a challenge, Pod Squad. Did you want to say something else, Sissy, before we wrap here?
I wanted to tell my favorite picture day story.
Oh, great.
Which my dear friend, she had to go out of town on picture day. Mm-hmm. And she left her husband in charge and said, today is picture day. Make sure you get the kids ready. And we have this restaurant in town called Lazy Mike's. And they sell t-shirts. And of course, it's my friend's husband's favorite restaurant. And so he was like, perfect. That's the one. So he sends the kindergartner to school in the Lazy Mike t-shirt for picture day. And when the pictures finally come in, she opens the envelope for the pictures and pulls it out. And there is her precious six-year-old in the photo with... all you could see was the top of the t-shirt and emblazoned giant letters, Lazy. It's just a picture of her face with like 5-inch block letters, Lazy, across it. And it is the funniest shit you've ever seen in your life. I'm going to text it to you. And that picture, which she was so pissed about.
Gold.
And now it's like every picture day, we text the picture to everyone. And it's like, reminder, picture day tomorrow.
Lazy.
So she had to send that shit to everybody who requested a picture.
Oh, it's so good.
I just love it.
I want to circle back. You said that your kids have 2 picture days a year?
Oh, yeah. Because how are you going to make $6 million if you only have a winter picture? You got to have your spring picture too. Yeah.
Did that happen for us when we were growing up?
No. And remember our backgrounds where we never got to pay extra because my parents never paid extra for anything. But remember how the kids whose parents would spend money would get like the laser backgrounds?
Yeah. Or
like,
a meadow.
What's going on with those backgrounds? It would be like you sitting there and then there would be like, yeah, like a field of greens behind you while you're sitting there in your like smock dress.
Yes, I remember you could get yourself, they could change out, like you'd sit on a little bench, but some of the kids whose parents were like, whoa, loaded, we'd get their pictures and the bench would be like gone and they'd be sitting on a bale of hay.
Because nothing says
second grade was fun, like a bale of hay to sit on.
With purple lasers in the background.
All right. We love you, Pod Squad. Thanks for listening. Go take some
pictures.
Have
a good picture day.
We clearly can't stop laughing. So if you all have a family picture or school picture or any sort of picture horror stories, Rocky, anyway, can you please send them to us or call in and tell them to us? Because we would like to continue laughing. Tell us all the good, the bad, the ugly, the lazy picture stories. 747-200-5307.
Were you going to say Rocky picture horror stories?
Yeah, because I was trying to work that all in, but like it didn't, I forgot and then I panicked. Yep, okay, bye. If this podcast means something to you, it would mean so much to us if you'd be willing to take 30 seconds to do each or all of these three things. First, can you please follow or subscribe to We Can Do Hard Things? Following the pod helps you because you'll never miss an episode, and it helps us because you'll never miss an episode. To do this, just go to the We Can Do Hard Things show page on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, or wherever you listen to podcasts, and then just tap the plus sign in the upper right-hand corner or click on follow. This is the most important thing for the pod. While you're there, if you'd be willing to give us a 5-star rating and review and share an episode you loved with a friend, we would be so grateful. We appreciate you very much. We Can Do Hard Things is produced in partnership with Cadence 13 Studios.